When it comes to Christmas gifts and what God has brought to us, you know, Christmas gifts are a funny thing, aren't they? It's not really about what we need most of the time, but it's what we think we would want or what would please us. Not so much need, but that's okay. I've got a good friend, maybe some of you remember our good buddy Ken Thompson. Ken moved to Texas this year. California wasn't big enough for the two of us any longer. So Ken had to leave. But some things never change. And Ken continues to be larger than life out on Facebook. And he posts things that I look at and it cracks me up. This morning he posted one. I thought this was just too cool. I wish I could have brought it with me. But it was a meme. And you know how these memes go. They're either really profound or really clever, or sometimes they're just stupid and funny. This one had a picture of Kermit the Frog. And on the meme it said, "Sure, you can get your wife jewelry or an expensive purse or perfume for Christmas, but she will never forget the Christmas that you got her a mop." Never. I say, it's true, isn't it true? Thank you, Jen. It is true. It is true. She may remember you fondly as she visits your grave, yeah. Yeah, and mop your headstone with it. That's right, absolutely. Thank you. I needed help with that. But gifts are funny that way. And the beauty of Christmas is that we do get gifts that we desire. We get gifts that surprise us. We get gifts we didn't know that we needed. But of course, once we open it, we have to admit that, oh, that's exactly what I needed. You know how it goes. But the gift that God gave us at Christmas, Let's face it, on how many levels we have to say that is the perfect gift, because it is a gift that we absolutely needed. We needed a Savior. We needed to feel that sense of being embraced by His love, that we were not overlooked, but in fact it was because we were at the center of His attention that that gift was presented. And because of that, it transforms us. It gives us a sense of purpose for what it means for us to live life in the context of that gift. Without that gift, and think about this just for a moment, without the gift of Christ, that word become flesh that we talked about, that idea of all of us in need of a Savior, without the idea that God cares enough about us to look after us and provide what we need, if we didn't have that, what would life be? What could someone put under your tree that would make up for that? Is there anything? Absolutely not. And so it becomes the greatest gift that was ever given. Maybe some of you remember this. There's a time in life when we as human beings begin to try to sort things out and figure things out in this world. Maybe you as parents or people who have had children remember these days when the kids would ask questions, question upon question upon question. And the best ones are always these, the ones that start with why. You know, why is the sky blue? What are you going to do? Explain the science of light wavelengths and stuff to them? No, you're just going to say, because it is. You know, why are there no more dinosaurs? Am I right? Yes. Well, just because. Why do I have to go to bed? Oh, no, I believe it. And the go-to for every parent is, because I said so. It doesn't work. You know, and I'm going to tell you, Holly, it doesn't work. It doesn't work with our kids, and it doesn't answer that question of why. You know, because we want to figure things out. And it's not just, it's just that we, as we grow older, we get a little more mature, we begin to not ask it in the same way, but we still want to understand the why to things so that we can feel a sense of we understand kind of what's going on, because it is that answer to that why question that really does give our lives definition. That we're not just marking time, that we're not just taking up space, we're not just consuming resources, that we really have a reason and a purpose, and it's rooted in the answer to that why question. Little kids are just a little more bold about putting it out there, but we really have to struggle with the same question. The why reveals the motivation, and the motivation makes all the difference in the world. You know, I was reading, and I ran across a book, and it talked about this letter, written from a woman to her ex-fiancé. And that tells you how old this letter is, because it was a letter. It wasn't a text. It was a letter, okay? And this was the heart of the letter. "Dearest Jimmy, no words could ever express the great sorrow I have felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. Please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. Congratulations on winning the state lottery." Motivation makes all the difference in the world. And so as we talk about this gift of Christmas and what the gift of Christmas brings to us, what it means for us, I want to turn to a very familiar passage today that goes both to not only what the gift is, but also to the motivation of the gift and what it means and how it changes our life because of that motivation. We're going to take a look at John 3:16. And again, for many of you, I don't need to have it put on the screen or even point out where it is. Many of you know this verse already, but for all of us, I think it's good for us to look with fresh eyes today to say, what does this have to do with this gift of Christmas that we're about to celebrate? John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that for whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life." In that verse begins to open up to us, there is a gift that has been given, and it is this gift of his Son Jesus. This Word became flesh, this Word which was with God, which was God in the beginning, which now has been given to us, taken on flesh, and has been given to us. This one and only Son that John refers to here is a gift of hope and of life which goes on. It is for all who would believe this gift. As we open this and unwrap this gift, this becomes our gift of eternal life. What a gift that is. We're all spiritual beings, but currently we're stuck in our physicality. But one day that physicality is going to be no more. And we need for something to unleash, unlock that eternity. And that's what God opens up for us. When we talk about Christmas and stuffing a stocking or excited about what might be under the tree, folks, we need to remember that's the gift that God brought, was this gift of life, a Savior who would take our sin, who would then open up for us a world of hope, who would change our whole perspective, that would take away all the struggles, not take them away because we're in the midst of them, and not diminish them completely, but put even our struggles in the context of this greater view which he has for us. That yes, we are here on this earth for a time, but we are intended to be with him forever. And because of that, even the griefs and the sorrows and the struggles that we work through in this life begins to find their place, because it's part of shaping us, but it's also preparing us, and it is opening us up for what God has yet to come for us. But it's the motivation. It's the motivation. Do we all need this? Yes, we all need this, but it's the motivation that makes all the difference in the world, and it's this. It is out of God's love that he gave his one and only Son. That's why we light the candles today, and that's why we light the love candle, to remind us that it's not just Christmas and gifts, but it is about God's love for us. When we all are loved, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. It is out of his love, seeing our human need, that he responds with this gift for us. It is this love which then opens up the door for us for change, for hope, for salvation. Studies have shown, and I know it's true, we can all say this is true, I don't need to even do and go spend money on a study, that every human needs love. They've done studies on children, especially like pre-6 months old, and those babies who've been deprived of what they call contact comfort in those first 6 months, they, once they are born, they grow and they become psychologically damaged. We recognize that without that, it's just not that we don't come complete. We come and are born, but then we still have a need in this life for love, and without it, there is something missing, something drastic which is missing. But there's something else, and not only do we say because of that, we recognize that this Christmas, even if there are those in this world who don't love you, or maybe there are those who once loved you but are no longer here, there is a love which is there to surround us, and that's what John 3:16 reminds us. Not only is the love of God there in the gift, but that gift reminds us that we are loved. Psychologists tell us that not only do we have a need for love, this is kind of cool too, because this actually, it's amazing when modern science and psychology match up with what the Bible has already been saying for thousands of years. It's amazing. But I love it. Psychologists tell us today that not only does every human have a need to be loved, but what we fail to recognize is that we also have what they call a parallel need. The parallel need is to love and care for others as well. It's not just enough to say that I'm going to be loved and I can just rest in that love and be a receiver of love and a taker of love, but that we are made and there is a psychological need for each and every one of us as humans to be able to express that kind of care, whether it be love for a husband and wife or love in all kinds of ways, that it begins to extend beyond us. It is a giving away of something that we are innately desiring. It goes against all of our mental capacity, say, because we always want to gather things in, but they've done studies, and they find that as people are able to give, that there is a greater sense of fulfillment in that. So oftentimes we're afraid if we give too much, we won't have anything left, but we find that as we continue to give, God somehow provides all the more so that we can continue to give, because God is going to be the giver that we cannot outgive. And I say that we are surprised by this, but it's what the Bible says, because isn't that exactly what Jesus said? Look in John 13. This is another passage I want to jump to, that Jesus said he's going to sum it all up, and he says, this is my new command that I'm going to give to you. As I have loved you, love one another. Oh, I got that out of order, didn't I? I'm kind of like the Beatles, you know? All you need is love. Love, love, love. All you need is love. And then they flip it around. Love is all you need. And so I can't even remember, what's the name of that song? Is it All You Need Is Love? Or is it Love Is All You Need? It's All You Need Is Love? Okay, Val, thank you. Stick with it. I got it out of order there too. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you, what? Must love one another. This is that parallel need that scientists today say, oh, we have this parallel need. Isn't that remarkable? Yeah, Jesus said so. You need to accept the love of God, and you need to feel the embrace of God. You need to feel the confidence of life that God gives you, because no matter what else may be taken out, that is never taken away. And also, you must love one another. This is the parallel that we talk about. This is the gift of Christmas. And this is how the Christmas light continues to get shown to the world around us. So this is the gift, and this is the trick, and this is the challenge. But it is, again, it is the gift that God gives love to us and invites us to be givers of that same gift to those around us. How is it we love those within our family? How is it we love those who are in our workplace? How is it we love those in our community? How is it we love those who we don't know? How is it we love those that we may not even see? How is it we love those who we don't even like? How is it we love those who we need to forgive? How is it we love those who need to forgive us. There are all kinds of ways that we can begin to manifest love as it goes out, whether it be in a note, a card, a smile, a hug. There's all kinds of ways that we can do that as a gift, as an expression. There are all kinds of ways that we can demonstrate and manifest this love, but we are invited and said that is a critical piece. Without that, giving love to someone, whether it be a gift that you wrap or whether it just be a word of encouragement that you share, we are called to be lovers of others because that is part of our Christmas gift. I like this quote. I saw it on the internet. It's not as fun as the one that Ken put up, but it reminded us that we are to not be dismayed by the brokenness of the world. The world's broken, folks. We got to recognize it is. All things break and all things can be mended, not with time, as they say, but with intention. So go. And this is the solution. This is the answer. This is the Jesus way that Christmas is about. Love intentionally, extravagantly, and unconditionally. The broken world waits in darkness for the light that is you. I would say it waits in darkness for the light that is in you. But the world waits in darkness, waiting for us to demonstrate this love. I give you this command that you would love one another, not just as I have loved you, but also you should, you should love one another. And in this way, Jesus said, the world will know that you are my disciples. As we receive the gift, and as we share the gift, we get known as the followers of Christ. So as Christmas comes, I just want to say, I want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas. I hope I'll see you on Sunday night. But I want to invite our worship team up, come up as we pray for this week and as we prepare to conclude. Father, we thank you for your gift of love and the reminder of what it means for us to be people emboldened by a love which we don't deserve. And God, also a people who are then set free to shine that light, to allow that love to be shared out into the broken and hurting world we live in. So bless us today as we rest in that love, as we receive that love, as we are shaped by that love, and bless us this week as we share that love, as we extend that love, and as we care for those you've placed in our circle. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.